Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, we're glad you are. Bob Getty, Kelly Sander, we're with you today in the Southern Bancorp studio for another hour of Southern Miss Sports Talk. We got a good one today. Aubrey Gillentine, a former baseball pitcher for the Golden Eagles, is the new pitching coach for the big-time Pearl River Wildcats junior college baseball program. Speaking of junior colleges, they kick off tonight, and we're going to be talking to the foremost expert in the country about junior college football a little later.
It's kind of fun when you listen to Mike Frazier because he is into it.
Buddy, he's the man when it comes to junior college football.
Yeah.
Yes,
yes. I mean, he's down in the laboratory with the coat on and the test tubes, and I mean, he's got everything figured out.
He needs to meet the guy that published the magazine that was on the show not too long ago. Those guys have a lot to talk about.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, Kelly, before we get to all that, I want to bring this up. This is something we haven't talked much about on the show. It has almost become comical, what's going on in college football. So today we reached out to an attorney, clearly a lot smarter than us. Not the first time we've had to talk to an attorney about this show, but this was a positive conversation.
Yeah, just how far can Sander go before we wind up in court?
Well, we know that now.
Yes.
It cost us a few thou to get that answer. But
that's why I've got electric shocks in my chair, so correct. That if we get that direction, I get
all right. Now, Kelly, you correct me here if I'm wrong. I want to go through this scenario. About 2 weeks ago, a federal judge in Colorado rules that there is a specific group of college football players, and I don't know the exact parameter in which that group fell, but anyway, that they would be eligible for another season of football play, even though they had exceeded what we thought would be their normal eligibility in 2026. All right, that prompted a lot of movement. It prompted three kids from Southern Miss, Greg Nunnery, Alohi Maui, and Jameer Lewis, who thought their careers were over, all linemen, to come back to the campus, start working out with the football team. Fast forward 10 days later, a federal judge in Louisiana says, no, that's not right. These guys are not eligible to play. Not just these guys, but all guys in this group. So now you got this situation where these kids come back. One comes all the way from American Samoa to play football, only to be told now that they're not eligible. Fast forward another week. The Chancery Court, and I'm reading now, the Chancery Court of Forest County has blocked the NCAA from enforcing rules that declare veterans ineligible for a fifth year. This temporary restraining order remains in effect until September 14th, 2026. All three players are therefore cleared to play immediately, starting with the season opener against Alcorn State. So Kelly and I are not legal minds, to say the least. So we called an attorney here in town, a very prominent attorney. We'll leave his name out of it, but he was very gracious. He talked to us. He explained that he can understand how all of this is very confusing. And what did you get from that conversation, Kelly?
That the judges that make these rulings only have jurisdiction within the confines of their boundaries. So in the state of Colorado, when that was originally ruled, that legally binding, that would work in Colorado, and everybody else just kind of adopted it. Well, then Louisiana comes along and says no, so everybody adopts it. So then, very much like Trinidad Chambliss' situation up in Oxford, when a local judge who had the boundary authority to make a ruling says that Chambliss is eligible to play. So Southern Miss kind of followed suit. And it's our understanding that Mississippi State now is trying to do the same thing to get some of their players eligible from a ruling at a judge within those boundaries that make it work. And the only thing that would stop any of this nonsense would be for the NCAA to make a blanket ruling that this is going to happen or not going to happen.
And then there'll be more lawsuits.
And as you mentioned in the article, those were a temporary restraining order, TRO, that are only in effect until September 14th. So then the question becomes, what happens after September 14th? Well, it's in the NCAA's court now.
He did tell us the NCAA could appeal this Chancery Court decision
if
they chose to do so.
But they would be very busy then appealing all these other...
I would think they would have to make some sort of national ruling. Correct.
That would make sense, but it was a great civics lesson.
Yeah.
Because we know about the legislative branch, the judicial branch, the executive branch, all those sorts of things. At least we were taught in school. But the fact that all these judges can say yes, and they're all right, because they were only ruling initially about people within their jurisdiction.
Right. And I did ask him, well, then how can federal judges issue these nationwide injunctions in immigration cases and things of that nature against the current administration? And he said, legally, they can't. The Supreme Court told them they can't, but they're continuing to do it, and it will be up to whomever to punish the federal judges who are now ignoring the Supreme Court. Is that what you understood?
What I understood, that these judges then have to start weighing their own political futures as to how wise that would be to butt heads with the Supreme Court, because that is where the buck is supposed to stop, is at the Supreme Court level.
Now, let me play the devil's advocate here a second. Do you believe that the Chancery Judge in Oxford and the Chancery Judge in Forest County ruled strictly on the law?
I would like to believe that, but to be fair, and I'm not dodging the question, but to be fair, I don't have access to...
Well, I don't either. I don't know a lot of
the facts that these judges have, but you would hope that the reason they got to be in that position was that they displayed legal acumen and honesty and ethics that would elevate them to those positions.
But you can understand why people would raise that question, correct?
Of course.
Would you want to be the judge in Oxford that said their $6 million quarterback cannot come back and play?
I wouldn't want my name released. We'll put it that way.
But I'm not saying that's why the judge did it. I'm just asking that question.
But it shows you the lunacy of all of this.
Insanity.
I mean, it's just gotten so completely out of control. But ultimately, doesn't it go back to us as an entire society that we put so much importance on sports? And people ask me all the time, you guys do an hour about Southern Miss sports pretty much every weekday. There would be then would say, well, why don't you do an hour show on Southern Miss's academics each day? Right? I mean, that would be...
Because nobody would listen.
That's my point, that's exactly is that sports has become, has become such a trophy to be put up on a pedestal that it causes... And when people get crazy about certain things, they do crazy things.
Let me say this before we run out of time. This temporary restraining order, the Chancery Court of Forest County blocked the NCAA from enforcing rules that declared the veterans ineligible for a fifth year. This temporary restraining order remains in effect until September 14, 2026, as you said. All three players are clear can play immediately. The players, and this is the whole national group, all from the high school class of 2022 sought legal protection after a federal appeals court stayed a nationwide injunction regarding the NCAA's new five-year eligibility model, which left this transition group in limbo. So already the NCAA ruling about the five-year model was challenged in federal court, and that's where we are today.
And this is just the first domino. There's already been five or six dominoes.
So that really the challenges are not going to end, are they?
Until, like the attorney told us this morning, until some of these judges are having to answer for going behind the Supreme Court, essentially, then if they're not held accountable, then why not?
Yeah. There was something I shouldn't mention what he needed to talk to you about, that public incident you were involved in last week.
Oh, with the
with the midget?
Yeah, well, you can't
the
say
little, the little person.
I was going to say you can't say
with the little person coming.
You can't, and the Alka-Seltzer tablets. You didn't mention those either.
Like that's which enough.
I'm glad you didn't mention
what,
it.
What, you know,
you brought it up.
We've been working together 10 years. Yeah, you'd think I'd know better, would you? I'm a slow learner.
You said it.
I'm a slow learner.
You said it.
Hey, Forest Health wants you to keeping up with your favorite team. It's fun this time of the year, and they have nothing to do with this segment. Don't forget about the most important player. That will always be you. This is where we should have brought Marty Vick into the conversation, not Forest Health. Get an annual physical. Be sure your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home. ForestHealth.org. Got anything you want to say? We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You know, Viagra was going to use that phrase.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Oh, my. Welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the air. Probably a couple seconds too soon right then. But nevertheless, Eagle Tire West sponsors this segment of our program. They're out on Highway 98 West. That's where my friend Matt Warren and all those great guys sell premium Goodyear tires, all major brand tires. They do full service work on cars and trucks. They're big Golden Eagle supporters. He's a former baseball player. That's everything you need to know. Family operated since 1985. Eagle Tire, Eagle Tire West. Let's talk to another former Southern Miss baseball player who is now the pitching coach at the national powerhouse Pearl River Community College, Aubrey Gillentine. Coach, former Golden Eagle yourself, big-time junior college program you're going to be controlling the pitching staffs of now.
Yes, sir. I appreciate y'all having me. I'm looking forward to working down here in Poppleville, get a little bit closer to Hattiesburg.
Yep.
I understand. Home, so I'm excited about it.
All right. I want you to kind of take us through this scenario. I know there's been kind of a road here. Danny Lynch goes to Mississippi Delta. He brings you up there. Then Danny goes to Abilene Christian, I believe. He's since moved on to Jacksonville State. Not Jacksonville State. Jacksonville State. You take over the program at Mississippi Delta, and now you have left there to take over the pitching duties at Pearl River. Do I have that right?
Yes, sir.
All right. So tell us, how were you contacted about Pearl River? In all honesty and with all due respect, I think that's a no-brainer. Being the pitching coach at Pearl River is a pretty prestigious position. So tell us about how all this happened.
Yeah, it was it was a Sunday night, and I got a call from Coach Avalon, and we kind of just talked for a little bit and kind of let me know that his pitching job was open, and you know, we had a good conversation that night, and then at about 8 o'clock the next morning he offered me the job. So it was a no-brainer for me, you know, looking at it, already a head coach in the same league. If there was one JUCO in the country that I'd step down from being a head coach at, it's Pearl River. So I was excited about it.
But originally at Delta, Coach Gillentine, you were hired as the assistant under Danny Lynch. But then by those circumstances, you got elevated to the head coaching position. So you've sampled an assistant coaching role and a head coaching role. You've sampled each of those. Now you're going back to PRC as an assistant. What did you like or not like about being the head man at Delta?
Yeah, I mean, I love being able to, you know, control all aspects of what we're doing and kind of run practice the way I wanted to. Obviously, with that, there's a lot more responsibility and a lot more time requirements for it. But I know kind of at my core and in my soul, I'm a pitching coach, you know, by trade. So that's kind of what I wanted to get back to because I think that's where my future lies in this career.
So how would you describe your pitching coach style compared to Coach Oz and some of the guys that you've studied under at Southern Miss?
Yeah, I mean, I've taken a lot from Coach Oz and even Coach Avalon in the short time I've been here. He was a pitching coach before. It's a very similar approach. You know, we're going to attack the strike zone. I'm a little bit more new school with all the metrics and technology, but at our core, we're the same. You know, we're trying to attack the strike zone and get out.
You hear all the time when it comes to Tommy John surgery, who, of course, the late Tommy John, he just passed away here not long ago, for which the surgery was named when he pitched for the L.A. Dodgers. You hear lots of times with young pitchers now, it's not a matter of if they're going to have a surgery, but when. Is that true, Coach? And what can be done to help try to alleviate some of those injuries, particularly with younger pitchers in junior high and first couple years of high school even?
Yeah. I mean, I honestly, unfortunately, I agree. You know, it's kind of turned of the when's it going to happen thing. I think, you know, I went through it myself. I pitched until I was, you know, 25 years old, and then I finally had it. I think we can do a better job at the youth level, you know, controlling pitch counts and controlling high-stress situations, getting more educated. But once you get to the higher levels, I mean, when guys are throwing 100 miles an hour for seven innings, like, your body just can't withstand that. But that's just kind of the way the game has moved.
And what advice do you have for parents, Coach Gillentine, whose kids only play baseball and they play this spring, they play in the summer, they play in the fall, they're playing all the time?
Yeah, I mean, my advice would be not to do that. we like kids, you know, recruiting here at Pearl River, we like kids that play football, play basketball. We think they're more versatile, they're more athletic, their bodies more adapt to certain situations. So I'd say, you know, just let them play in the summer, let them play in the spring, and then let them go be a kid the rest of the year.
But what do you do, Coach, to get that through, get that message through? I know people in my circle of life who have young children that they literally play baseball year round.
They got to keep up with the Joneses, yeah, right?
They just can't stand the fact that their kid is not on another travel team.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's tough. It's like you said, everybody's trying to keep up. Everybody thinks, you know, if they're not doing something, they're falling behind. But, I mean, in all reality of it, like, we're not looking at kids recruiting-wise until they're, you know, 17 years old anyway, 16, mm-hmm. 17 years old. We don't care what your stats were when you were 11. You know, we just want to see you develop and get bigger and get stronger. So I think more emphasis should be, you know, put into the practice, into the arm care side of it than it is actually playing games.
I think that's great advice, and I think that is the quote of the week. We're not looking at any stats when you're 11. That should be posted on every Little League baseball dugout in the country.
Although it is amazing how much better if the parents are keeping the book, it's amazing how much better their statistics are. Yeah.
All right, Coach. Now, I always ask the serious questions on this show. You, you of course, went to up to Moorhead with the iconic Danny Lynch. Was Danny in the Delta long enough to have all the ladies swooning over him the way they did when he was here?
I don't, you know, the population is not real dense up there, and he had his now wife Hannah with him up there, so I don't think he had to worry about it too much. Yeah. I think he was in the clear.
Is he aware of the degree of admiration, for lack of a better term, he received down here?
I think he's aware, and I think he'll let you know that. People know who he is. He's not afraid to share that with you.
Well, Hannah also knows, and that's the one you got to worry about, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Coach, I wanted to ask you, too, some headlines in the Sun Belt were made a couple of weeks ago when huge contracts went out to Skylar Mead at Troy and Chris Lemonis at Coastal Carolina, who now have left Coach Ostrander in the dust financially as far as their contracts go. And that's ruffled a few feathers when you look at the consistency of the Southern Miss program. I argue that Coach Ostrander should be the highest paid. It's easy for me to say. It's not my money, right? But I would argue that Coach Ostrander deserves to be, if not the highest paid coach in the league, certainly a lot closer than where he is. What say you?
And I totally agree. I mean, if you look at his track record, especially since he's taken over, I mean, he's really continued what success was had there before. I don't know. I'm not an AD. I don't get into all the numbers of it and stuff, but I think he's very deserving of whatever they would want to pay him up there.
Yeah, while we're on the subject of Southern Miss, your thoughts about – we just thought this was so impressive, and we regretted that we couldn't get these guys on the air on our show to talk about it. But the fact that the three weekend starters all invited to participate in Team USA, that's just remarkable, isn't it, Coach?
Yes, it is. It's a huge testament to those guys and what they've been able to do. And you look at those guys, and, you know, one of them was a Pearl River guy before. So you can see the development system we have, you know, at Southern Miss and even here, sending those guys to that level. That's the best of the best.
Yeah, no question.
And junior college baseball, lots of times too, Coach. I get that every kid wants to play Division I. That's their dream as a child. But I always tell people, do not poo-poo the junior college baseball experience, particularly in Mississippi.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt, yeah. I mean, you come on a visit to Pearl River, you're not going to want to leave without saying you're committed there. And that's really the case, really only in the state of Mississippi. You don't see that at other places, and it's a huge testament to, you know, the baseball atmosphere that's been created over here. And, you know, Southern Miss has played a huge part in that as well.
And I can actually testify to that too, Bob, because every woman I speak to at Pearl River says I ought to be committed.
Yes, well, yeah, I know. Are they called for security? Yes, I understand. Hey, Coach, just a minute left. In a nutshell, tell us why Pearl River has had such enormous success with their baseball program.
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes back to Coach Avalon's vision when he first got here. I think it starts with him, and then just what he's been able to do, the support you've given that has been given to him by the administration. It's remarkable what's been built here. And I think it's just a level of consistency and the level of attention to detail that's being created here. You know, when we bring recruits on visits and things like that, they know what to expect. That the image has been portrayed, you know, correctly over the last several years, and that's why they've had so much success.
And it doesn't hurt that the president, Dr. Adam Brewood, was a sports guy himself and coached many sports.
Backs him up.
That's right. And his son, Blaze, is an assistant on our staff as well now. So he's continuing that legacy.
And guess who coached Blaze Brewood, Bob? Yours truly.
And he still got a coaching job. It's amazing. Miracles happen
every day. One of my mojo kids.
You know, miracles happen every day.
For sure.
Hey, Coach, congratulations. We're glad to have you back here. We want all of our guys back, and we know that you guys will carry on that amazing tradition of baseball down in Poplarville. Thanks, Coach, and congratulations.
Thank y'all. Enjoyed it.
All right. Aubrey Gillentine, everybody, the new pitching coach, Pearl River Community College.
Yeah, let's see. Being a coach in Moorhead or a coach in Poplarville on the national championship team? That's a tough one, Bob.
Yeah,
huh?
That'd be nice about Moorhead. They need all the love they can get.
You're right. You're right.
We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top.
I want to thank Aubrey Gillentine for joining us in that segment. Good to have him back in the fold here, so to speak, here in South Mississippi. And undoubtedly, those guys will have great, great success, continued success at Pearl River Community College. DBAT sponsors this segment of the Eagle Hour. DBAT's located on Hardy Street. It is a state-of-the-art training facility for kids, adults. They've got batting cages for softball and baseball, running tracks, pro shops, expert trainers, and counselors down there. So if you want to be the best you can be in your sport or want your children to be the best they can be in theirs, check out DBAT. Ask for Luke Reynolds, the GM, and tell him his friends at Eagle Hour said hello. Genesis of Hattiesburg also says hello. They're the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs are all from Mississippi's exclusive Genesis dealership. That's located on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. And I want to remind you, as I do every day, or try to do every day, about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube. Alexa or Siri will play the Super Talk Eagle Hour for you. Junior college football kicks off tonight, and we have the foremost expert in the country. And we're very fortunate to have Mike Frazier join our show every year to talk to us, because no one covers it better than JUCO Weekly. And Mr. Frazier and Mike, good to hear your voice again. And I heard you talking to Kelly, and you say it's going to be probably that same old cast of characters dominating JC football here in the Magnolia State.
Yeah, no doubt. Northwest up in the north, East Mississippi, those are the usual suspects. They're the teams to knock off. Down south, Colin, Jones, and Gulf Coast. You know, and everybody else, you know, is kind of chasing that, those big dogs off. Interested to see what Hines does this year. You know, Chris Jones is back for his second year. Had a heck of a year. Jalen Ruffin, their quarterback, is a sophomore now, threw for nearly 2,000 yards. You know, dual threat guy, but man, that South Division, that is murderer's row, and boy, you know, you lose one game in that South, you know, it's just hard with tiebreakers to climb up the proverbial ladder.
But, and there's a different structure this year. Am I correct about that, Mike?
Yes. Yeah, they're doing, instead of a 9-game regular season, it's a 10-game regular season. And they're just taking the top two teams from the division to play for the state for the conference championship. You know, I like that rule in this regard. It protects the big teams. They could play one less game, so it doesn't tarnish their record overall when they're competing for one of the four national playoff spots. And that's a big deal. You know, if Northwest can host a school from Iowa, or Mississippi Gulf Coast can host a team from, Kansas. Boy, from a weather standpoint, that's a bigger advantage for those teams down south.
And also, Mike, you could argue that by winning the North or the South, you've really done something and have earned your way into that title game.
That is true. That is true. Look, it's like you guys touched on in years past. It's about protecting the big guys. I'm all for that. Northwest and East Mississippi, they're proven champions. They've been doing it now in their second decade. They deserve a break. And you could say what you want about schools like Coahoma and Delta. Sure, they're the bottom feeders of the league in the win-loss column, but they've got plenty of Division I guys on their teams, and they could do some damage to guys just by banging bodies for an extra game, you know, throughout the course of the season. So I applaud the presidents in the conference to really address that issue. I don't think the president's got it completely right, but it's a great step in the right direction, and it just shows that the presidents do care deeply about their teams, because the little guys in that league went along with the big dogs when it came to restructuring the schedule.
And, Mike, when you look at other junior college programs who have been strong, you know, in the past, Snow Junior College out in Utah, you know, Tyler down in Texas, several schools, including Butler up in Kansas, who were some of the other national teams that we should be keeping an eye on besides our own backyard here of Northwest, Gulf Coast, and East Mississippi, among others?
Sure. In Texas, Tyler, great program, 11-win year last year. They lost their head coach, but they picked up a quality quarterback. Navarro's going to be another a powerhouse program in the Texas League. I think the SWJCFC of Texas is the toughest conference in the country. Kansas, of course, is Kansas with Hutch. They're loaded, they're deep, and they're pretty stout. Garden City looks like they're back on the right track. They had a terrific recruiting cycle. And then, of course, Iowa Western with Scott Strohmeyer, the head man there. Another national championship, their fourth in 5 years, five straight national appearances. He'll be right back there in the mix of things. So those are the big ones. Again, it goes back to the structure. Adding that extra game, and then, you know, it does two things. If a team like Gulf Coast can clinch early, they can sit guys that last game and ready themselves for the conference title game. And that's the big thing. You know, the knock that the national, and it's a bogus one, but the knock that the national office has on Mississippi is they don't play schools outside their conference where other schools do. Well, Iowa Western has to because there's only three schools in Iowa. That's a bogus argument because the league in Mississippi is so deep that, yes, you got your bottom feeders in the aforementioned paragraph, but, man, you got a lot of big hitters too, you know?
Yeah.
The teams that accomplish that go 7-3 and don't even get a playoff opportunity.
And, Mike, when you look at the MACCC, which kicks off tonight at sites across the state, a lot of them, when you look at the opponents and the matchups, would really kind of be lopsided when you look at them. But one of them that I think is going to be really close is actually right down the road in Poplarville, where Bob's alma mater of Holmes Community College, the Bulldogs, will play Pearl River at Dobie Holden Stadium. And I think for many reasons, this is a huge game for Seth Smith.
They're going to gut the Wildcats. You know that.
No. I'll take the Wildcats every day and twice on Sunday. But you will agree with Mike that that's a big game for Seth Smith?
Every game for Seth at this point is big. I mean, he's been there, I think, 5 years now, and he's got to win games. You know, I mean, he's gotten a longer leash than a lot of guys have gotten in that conference. Those presidents are impatient, deservedly so. They want to win. And, you know, so I would assume they're going to double-team Teran Mosley tonight, the wide receiver out of Holmes. He's a rock star. So, you know, defense, they've been able to hold their own. They just, for some reason, can't get any consistency on offense. So we'll see what happens this year. I'm not terribly optimistic about it. But, you know, let's see what happens.
Well, we tell everybody about what an expert you are, and certainly you are when it comes to JUCO. Nobody follows JUCO sports like you. But set the record straight one way or the other, Mike. Was Bob Geddes' playing career at Holmes really what he says it was?
Go ahead and tell him, Mike.
I find it hard to believe.
Tell him, Mike.
Yeah, stature reveal happens October 3rd.
What I try to tell you, Senator, you need to listen to me. You're coming down, aren't you, Mike?
Yeah. We'll have ESPN down there, too.
ESPN, I'm sure.
Yeah, my dog Louie will be there to do something on that statue, I'm sure.
Hey, Mike, I hope you can join us throughout the year, my man. We love talking to you, and we really value our junior college coverage here on the Eagle Hour, and we're grateful that you would share your expertise with us every year.
Guys, I appreciate the opportunity. It's a terrific league. A lot of great coaches down there that recruit incredible talent. And the state of Mississippi continues to do what it does best, and that is win games and compete and win national titles. So glad to be back on. Have a terrific weekend, fellas.
Hey, Mike, real quick, where can people follow you and your work?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Just go to JUCO Weekly right on the social media, X, Instagram, and Facebook. We'll be out there tracking scores and posting stats tonight and ranking our guys. We'll put out our top 20 list, too, here over the weekend.
All right, Mike. Thanks a lot, man. We'll look forward to having you on again very soon.
All right, guys. All the best.
Mike Frazier, everybody. JUCO Weekly. And you're right. I mean, there literally is no one I've ever met that knows more about junior college football than Mike Frazier.
I don't even know. I don't know Mike's personal situation, if he's got a wife or whatever. But if he does, that takes a special kind of patience, doesn't it?
I am telling you. He knows every stat of every kid that plays on every team.
He's the Mel Kiper of JUCO football.
I don't, and a great guy.
Yeah, for sure.
Speaking of great guys, and we're going to be visiting with them next Friday out at MCS Home Center. That's where we go for home repair, home remodeling, home construction. Absolutely everything you need for your next home, lawn, or garden project. It's available right there in Bellevue. The new improvement home center for the Pine Belt. Local folks eager to serve you, and a great, great family owns it. 7329 Highway 98 West. Also want to say hello to our wonderful sponsors at Mobay Beignet Company, 2902 Hardy Street, right across the street from the campus. Man, they'll be hopping with football coming up. But what a great way to kick off a football weekend. Get some fresh beignets, great coffee at Mobay.
Yeah, normally you can have some whipped cream coming up for the opener next weekend. It'll be ass whip that you can put on top of your beignet.
I talked to you about this terrible language.
Whip? I can't say whip on the air?
The FCC guy standing right over your shoulder?
I didn't think there was anything wrong with whip.
We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back to the show. I want to thank Mike Frazier, and I want to clarify something earlier. I said one of our most loyal listeners, and I'll keep him confidential. He's asked me to, but he's listened to our show since we went on the air. We're grateful to his for his input. But he pointed out to me that the Trinidad Chambers judge was not in Oxford, Kelly. Actually, he was in Pittsboro, Mississippi, just north of Calhoun City in Calhoun County. So, for whatever.
You know it's remote when you're a suburb of
Oxford.
Calhoun
City. Calhoun. Yeah. I actually remember doing football games when I did St. Joe High School years ago in Calhoun City. I've actually been to Calhoun City now that I think about it.
Yeah, and a lot of the jamborees for high school teams took place last week, and high school football season, full-fledged, gets underway tomorrow night for the most part.
And, yeah, Dima Bixon does a podcast with another young man about high school football, and we're going to have a pretty good segment tomorrow on the show to kind of outline what's up with high school football.
I've always thought that, particularly in the Deep South, is about the last piece of Americana still exists.
No, I think you're right.
And I think that's changing, too, because of technology and so on. A lot of the students don't go to the games, or they watch them on live stream.
Well, they're missing out, because that is a big part of growing up and being a part of high school, I think.
I agree.
Yeah, I think so. All right, Marty Vick down at Jewel Masters reminds you that their store is open. They're not going out of business. They got beautiful jewelry down there. I was there yesterday, and the store is full of beautiful jewelry. So from diamonds, wedding bands, beautiful gemstone jewelry, they've got it all at Jewel Masters. And, of course, they remain the foremost experts in buying gold and silver, and just don't be fooled by these silly little signs and other things you see. You'll get more money for your gold and silver at Jewel Masters than you will anywhere else. And also, want to remind you real quickly about more than a week away from the opening of Southern Miss football. You've still got time to call Dickie's Barbecue and set up your opening tailgate. They'll bring it to you. And they'll do tailgating for 300 to 500 people. It does not matter to them. The food is always delicious, fresh. They're great, great people, great Southern Miss supporters. Justin Harris is just a gem of a guy. And we hope that you'll do all of your tailgate catering from Dickie's Barbecue.
And we know, because the season starts next week, that you'll want to know all the ins and outs of tailgating and how to navigate the campus as effectively as possible. We're working on getting some officials from the university here who can give us some good advice as to how to easily, you know, get in and out of your where your tailgate spot's going to be, what the rules are, set up, take down, all those sorts of things. So you don't want to get caught with anything that's not accurate.
And tomorrow we will also be wrapping up our preseason coverage of Sunbelt football with Blake Anderson. We'll have an interview that Kelly did with Blake Anderson back in New Orleans and bring that to you. As we wrap that up, certainly want to thank Sunbelt Federal Credit Union, who's with us now on a lot of other things, and they'll be sponsoring a number of other things we'll announce here very soon that we'll be doing throughout the fall. Another quick reminder, we're back on the road next week. Friday we'll be at MCS Home Center. I'm going to have some ball players out there. We'll be really close to the kickoff then. And next Thursday, I'll be at Bocoma Casino, and you'll be, I understand you're going to be producing, running the whole operation from here in the studio solo.
I would be with you at the Bocoma, but there was a really big guy named Bruiser who I gave some apparently bad advice to last year.
Yeah, Bruiser's already told me. Yeah. He's already called me and asked me if you were coming.
I'm kind of like Barney Fife. I got to keep my uniform on so I don't get beat up.
Gave him your address here in town.
Oh, fantastic.
It's not. You got any news and notes?
News and notes.
You're just rambling today.
Women's soccer back at the Bell today. Bob, as they make their home debut, a 4 o'clock tip against Southeastern Louisiana. They're trying to get back on the winning track.
That Bell?
The Bell Sports Complex off of 4th Street. in Hattiesburg. They also call it the Nest now, where the soccer team, the beautiful facility that they've got out there. They're playing Southeastern Louisiana today at 4 o'clock. The volleyball season gets underway tomorrow as part of a classic tournament, and they are actually playing against Southern of Baton Rouge, and that will be at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon as part of the Cocky Classic in Jacksonville, Alabama.
I got you. It's a great time of the year, Kelly, with high school football starting Friday night. If you go around the campus, you can hear the pride practicing and getting ready for the opening of football season. If it would just cool off a little bit, you could really get into the sort of football game.
And tomorrow night is the Pride preview at 6 o'clock on campus, where the Pride will be performing their halftime show and some of the selections that they'll be playing from the halftime show. Mm-hmm. Again, that's at 6 o'clock. Spirit Park, I think, is where it's going to be on campus. So if you want to get
a
preview.
Next week's going to be so exciting. Two on the road shows. We're going to have the cheerleaders are going to be with us next week here in the studio. And ladies and gentlemen, Kelnack returns next week.
I don't know where we're going to get Kelnack in, but he's already on his way, so you better make
room
for him.
We're going to have to figure something out.
And we're getting word that there's going to be official word about the stadium signing, the naming rights with a Resonant Bank.
And Rusty Keys, we're hoping to get him on the show, too.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, head of police at Southern Miss. Fill you in on what are the do's and don'ts this year. And they're going to do everything they can to accommodate everybody and make everybody happy.
Tailgating-wise is what we're talking
exactly
about.
Exactly right. All right, we'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Southern Miss.
To the top. Into the future. Slipping into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.